And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory. In the name of the one who comes to save, amen. Christmas hath a darkness brighter than the blazing noon. Christmas hath a chillness warmer than the heat of June. Christmas hath a beauty lovelier than the world can show. For Christmas bringeth Jesus, brought for us so low. I wonder if you have ever heard this short poem. It's by Christina Rossetti, and when I hear it or read it, especially in these days just after Christmas, it captures for me something essential to the season. Christmas has a darkness, a blue quality, part of its power, I think. We hear, "I'll be home for Christmas," and part of the poignancy of that particular song, which was released in the depths of World War II, is that we never can quite go home again if going home means recreating the precise happy events of our own pasts. And it's the blue notes in the Vince Guaraldi soundtrack to A Charlie Brown Christmas that make that musical memory stand apart from the rest of those animated specials that we see as children at this time of year. These whole 12 days, in fact, if you pay close attention to the church calendar, are a pattern of joy and grief. Between the great feasts of Christmas and Epiphany fall other days of remembrance. Yesterday, Boxing Day, is the feast of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. On Tuesday, the church will honor the memory of the holy innocents, those children who, according to tradition, were slain by order of Herod. Herod, who, sequestered in his own palace, was attempting desperately to eliminate a newborn king and a rival to his own power. I'd go so far this morning to venture that without these blue notes, these other remembrances, the cycle of Christmas isn't quite complete. Its sharpness and tenderness, its blue and bright, because the Word becomes flesh to share all of it. All of it, the joy of Christmas. And joy is something deeper than mere happiness or optimism, isn't it? The joy of Christmas is in the sweep, the spectrum, the unshakable commitment of God to the full human experience. The joy, according to the writer J. Lewis May, the joy is that one greater, wiser, and stronger than ourselves can also become little and enter into us and then expand and rise and strengthen us. Calls you one and calls you all to gain his everlasting hall. Christ was born to save. Christ was born to save. That's how our opening hymn captures it, this Word becoming flesh. But it's that strengthening part of salvation that we need, perhaps, as we steer out of 2020, this most challenging year in generations, and look into our shared future and a new year. You shall be called by a new name, says the prophet Isaiah this morning. John picks this up himself in his prologue, that somehow through the miracle We have been given a kind of power ourselves, a new way of living and of being. Power, John says, to become children of God. Now, what does that power mean? What are the implications of holding, of having been granted such power? I'm thinking back this morning to a Christmas gift I was given by my parents almost 40 years ago now, the collected stories of Eudora Welty. A big brick of a book under the tree, and at the age of 14, it was the biggest, fattest book I'd ever owned. I've read it to pieces over the years, and it's a bit like this church to me, because every time I dip in, I see something new. Now, Eudora Welty lived and wrote in Jackson, Mississippi. She lived all of her long life in Jackson, in the house built by her father. She never married. In photographs, Welty can seem kind of gangly and awkward and prim. Her stories, though, which I came to love as a teen, are often funny and sensual and wise. They are almost all about the people she observed in her native city, rich and poor, male and female, black and white. And near the end of her long life, looking back at an illustrious career, she wrote this. I have been told both in approval and in accusation that I seem to love all my characters. What I do in the writing of any character is to try to enter into the mind, heart, and skin of a human being who is not myself. Whether this happens to be a man or a woman, young or old, with skin black or white, the primary challenge lies in making the jump itself. It is the act of a writer's imagination that I set most high. Making the jump itself. The jump into the mind, heart, and skin of a human being who is not myself. And in Jesus, God makes that very leap into us. In Jesus, God is to us as the writer is to her characters. And the word that Welty has for this is love. Unalterable commitment to the full human story. Love. The Word becomes flesh. The Word makes the jump. Our primary challenge, the challenge of Christmas, is in imitating that jump, isn't it? When the world is telling us to hunker down, when the world is wrapped in fear, this Word made flesh is asking us to live in a different way, or to try to. God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. This is the voice of the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Galatia, in the letter to the church read traditionally on this Sunday. He goes on, so you are no longer a slave, but a child, Paul continues. No longer a slave, but a child, and if a child, then also an heir through God. Heirs of God, built to imitate that first creative giver. built to jump, to enter into the mind, heart, and skin of a human being who is not myself. Jump. Perhaps this is the work of Christmas, the jump into the skin of another, which is the first step towards anything we can think of as peace and reconciliation. Heirs of God, built to jump. Now, we often wish people peace at this time of year. Invoke peace. Long for peace. But what do we mean when we say that word? Peace can mean a kind of inner calm, a tranquility, and a freedom from personal anxiety. Peace can mean well-being, freedom from trouble and trial. Peace may be what we are after, actually, when we do hunker down on winter weekends. But I think the peace of Christ, the peace of Christmas, is bigger and more expansive than these. It's in making the jump, isn't it? It's about the attempt, the trying, the attempt to remove the barriers that exist between us and others. As God is to us in Christ, as God enters into us, so are we to be with each other. Because we have been built like Christ for the empathic jump. This is why we as church have taken a tighter focus on anti-racism in these years, even though this work of confrontation and candor can be difficult and sometimes painful and awkward. This is why churches do mission work and outreach, not so much to fix the world as heroes, benefactors, or paragons of virtue, but simply to jump, to love, and to be changed by those we encounter. This is why there is no more apt time to reconcile with someone you have hurt or has hurt you, than at this time of the year. Jump. This is how God works through and among us. The solace of Christmas is that God is committed fully to us, has skin in our game. And the strength of Christmas is that through Christ, God's Spirit has entered us, making us new, empowering us to have skin in the games of others. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. No shepherds, no angels, no ox or ass in John's accounting. John this morning doesn't really bother with those details. But the Word has become flesh and lives among us. No matter how wealthy we are, no matter our gender or identity, no matter our age or our race, God's love is impartial, open, and expansive, as we ourselves are built to be. Joy to the world. Go ahead. Jump.